Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo, and my name is Gemma. This week I have with me the one and only Trevor. How are you, Trev?
Hi, diddly ho, Gemma. I'm doing pretty good.
Ahoy, hoy. that was good. Nice little Flanders intro there. Are you going to change up every week to a different Simpsons introduction?
I'm trying. I feel like the introduction is one of the hardest things. You know, once we get rolling, it's easy to talk, but
it is. Words. Yeah. Yes. Well, 2 weeks in a row for you. So thank you for coming back this week.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice. And we've got a lot to talk about. We just were privy to a new Nintendo Direct, which featured all things new Super Mario, sorry, not new, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. That dropped just a few days ago, and it's easy to call it that, though. I know. I've been doing that in my head the whole time. I've never said it out loud until then, of course. So, yeah. So this direct dropped. What was it, Thursday? I think last week, and it was 15 minutes of details and footage from the upcoming Super Mario Brothers Wonder game, which comes out October 20th. I think you and I are both pretty excited about it. I'm a huge Mario fan. It's no secret.
I am very excited for it, and it cracks me up because it was a 15-minute direct, and I bet you we spend probably the whole hour here talking about it. So
yeah, easily. I think there's a lot to cover, so let's get to it. I mean, overall, what did you think? Were you happy with the direct? Are we surprised that there was a direct? Or, I mean, we're 6 weeks out from the game, I think, at this point, six or seven.
I don't think I was surprised per se, because I feel like There was rumors that there would be a direct. I guess I didn't necessarily expect a Mario only direct, but then again, I feel like this is going to be the big holiday game. No offense to like Detective Pikachu or even Mario RPG. You know, Mario's kind of competing with himself, but
yeah,
you know, the Mario platformers are always the big ones. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. I don't know if this means we're not going to get the traditional September direct from Nintendo. Do you think this means this will be our direct for the month, or what do you reckon? Speculation.
Well, I mean, this dropped. Did it technically drop the last day of August, right?
So oh, it was really actually.
Yeah, we haven't had a September direct.
That's true. So it could still happen. It could still happen.
We better get one.
Yeah. Hopefully. There's a lot to cover. Like you said, this is not the only game coming out this quarter or the next part of the year. There's a lot to look forward to. This happens to be one of, I guess, you know, Mario is Nintendo's flagship character, or one of the main ones at least. And, you know, he's got, like, I love that you said that. He's competing with himself a little bit because he's got two games coming out in the next few months, both of which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. But at least they're very different styles, so they can attract different moods.
Yeah. Yeah, and one is, I mean, this is Mario Wonder is obviously a platforming, so it's his 2D kind of almost like his origins, and then the RPG one, which is a remake, I guess, or, you know, a reimagining of a classic title from the Super Nintendo era. Very different styles. But so let's talk about Mario Wonder. First of all, we're talking about a game set in a completely different world to where Mario normally, battles with Bowser, rescues, you know, the Mushroom Kingdom folk, because he's usually in the Mushroom Kingdom. This time he's in the Flower Kingdom. So it's a very different, well, it's not a very different look, but it is a different look. Like, there's, what are those little characters called at the end of the levels? I didn't write that down, actually. You know, normally you have little toads greeting you when you hit the flagpole. This time we have little, there's little dudes with the kind of tall hats.
I don't remember offhand. I'd have to check my notes. I did take notes because this is our cover story, of course, and that's what made me extra grateful this dropped, because we didn't have a lot of information, and I'm like, what am I going to write that's interesting? But at least now we have, you know, concrete stuff. And to the point of the Flower Kingdom, I like that it's a new area, because we've been through the Mushroom Kingdom so many times, and of course they said the Flower Kingdom, you know, isn't too far from the Mushroom Kingdom. So that's why you see kind of the, you know, it's just beyond the Mushroom Kingdom, I think is what they said. Yeah. So you see some similar styles, but I like it.
They're like neighboring counties or something.
Like Shelbyville to Springfield.
Yeah. Which one is the Springfield? Is that the Mushroom Kingdom? Is the Flower Kingdom Shelbyville? Do they drink turnip juice there?
Or barley, right? If it's Ogdenville.
Oh, that's good. So King Florian is the, I guess, ruler of the Flower Kingdom. And I wanted to ask your opinion on this because he's this little caterpillar creature who's at the beginning of the direct. We see, I guess, the intro to the game, which is Bowser coming and doing his thing. And this little caterpillar guy, Florian, he seems to join Mario and co on the adventure, but I'm not sure what he does. Maybe that's a surprise that they haven't told us. But did you see how he's with them? Like at the end of the levels, he kind of pops out. He's like in Mario's hat or something, or in his little shirt. I don't know where he's hiding. But
is that the king or the prince? Or are they the same?
I wrote king, but that doesn't mean I wrote it incorrectly. I thought
it was same
the king.
Same here. I don't know.
I just wondered if there was more to his role that we don't know about yet.
It would be nice. I mean, the 2D, you know, Mario's typically have, you know, kind of plain Jane stories compared to like the 3D entries. So I would like to see a little more advancement in that respect.
Yeah. And then so Bowser comes along and he's merging with a castle thanks to this, what is it, the Wonder Seed?
Crazy.
Yeah. So now instead of a Bowser's castle, we have Bowser the castle.
It looked like those like metal piranha plant things look like Doc Octopus or something, like with those arms.
They did actually. They looked pretty cool. They're kind of black and menacing and snapping at everyone. I do hope they feature in a level. I didn't see them during the direct apart from that intro scene. So I'm not sure if they're going to be in, you know, the final stage where you have to beat Bowser or something, but they look pretty cool.
Probably. They'd fit.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so they said that we have, and maybe you can explain this to me. They said there were 6 worlds and 7 areas. I don't know how that works. Do you know how that works?
Yeah, maybe, it sounded like there'd be the central area, you know, which were the, you know, the aisles there, the petal aisles, that maybe have their own, like, you know, stages or whatnot. And then if I feel like, because they're called petal aisles, like each of the worlds will be like a petal, and then the aisle will be like the center of, like, so they kind of look like a flower, maybe. Like if you were looking from above. That's speculation on my part. I don't think they showed us anything like that, but I was thinking like the petal aisles is the middle, and then 3 worlds on either side are the petals. So it looks like a flower when you're looking at it from a bird's eye view. I don't know.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, you could be onto something there. I mean, traditionally we always get 8 worlds, so I was wondering whether that was just if they were leading us astray. And that maybe Bowser, his castle would be some sort of 8th world, or maybe there's a Star Road or something like that. Like, surely there's an 8th world, right?
I wonder if there's like some of the, you know, new Super Mario games, like where there's alternate exits that then open up to like kind of optional, you know, worlds. So I would be very surprised if there wasn't something like that, because that's kind of tradition.
Yeah, exactly. Did you also catch the Treehouse Live streaming event as well that followed the direct? It wasn't directly after it, but it was maybe the day after on Friday or something.
No, I did not. Thank you for...
Check that out as well. Yeah, I should have reminded you, sorry, before the show. It went through... I guess they played a few levels in a bit more detail.
Was that promoted or did that kind of just drop? Because I don't even remember them mentioning that.
No, it wasn't mentioned. I just happened to see it in my feed, like Nintendo of America Nintendo Treehouse Live event. And I'm like, oh, there's something else to watch. Okay, so I watched that. It's about 20 minutes worth of
them. I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah, there's a panel of 4 Nintendo, you know, employees or whatever. They're playing through a few levels, give you a bit of a taste. And I did notice, speaking of like secret exits and stuff, I'm sure one of the levels they played ended in a red Bowser flag as opposed to the normal flag. You know, when you hit the flagpole, the secret levels have a different flag, like a red Bowser flag. So I do think they have secret exits at least. which is interesting and cool.
I wonder too, if not to, to get ahead of talking points, but I wonder if like with the Wonderflowers, if you can beat the level traditionally and then like beat it again in Wonderflower mode.
I wonder the same thing actually. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That pun is going to happen so often. In fact, they said it in the Treehouse Live event as well. That's a really good question though. And I had thought the same thing, because do you have to do it? And also, you know, and yeah, like we're jumping ahead a little bit here, but when you hit that Wonderflower and then you know, everything goes topsy-turvy, and then you have to hit, what do you collect the seed, I guess, to turn everything back to normal. Do you have to collect the seed, or can you just keep going? Like, you obviously need to collect the seed at some point, but could you just
see,
play
the whole level? That's what I was wondering. Like, because that would be a really good replay incentive if you could potentially beat the level either way or both ways if you're a completionist.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Don't know the answer to that, but it's a really good question. I can't wait to find out. But it looks like the world map, you know, like you're saying, whether it's flower shaped or not, but the world map, you get to kind of wander around, you're almost open worldish, which is similar to a kind of Mario 3D world, I guess, right? In terms of you can go wherever you want. You can go to different levels. You don't have to go very, it's not linear based like the new Super Mario series, where you just have to go world 1-1, world 1-2, whatever. There might be branching pathways, but generally you have to follow a path. And in this one, you can just wander around. Yeah, I think that's cool. I like that.
Me too. There are always, you know, little goodies kind of hidden about. Like, I imagine there's going to be nooks, you know, in the, when you're exploring, where you might get coins or a power up or, you know, maybe there'll be some online implementation there too. Again, I'm getting ahead, but I think that's a nice little touch, kind of, especially if, say, somebody's coming from just playing Odyssey and then going to a 2D game, they're going to kind of miss that freedom a little bit. So I think that's a nice way to stay true to the 2D roots while having a little bit of open world freedom.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's nice as well. I wonder if it'll be like in what is it, Super Mario 3D World, player one controlled the group of four and they all followed, you know, if say you're Mario, the other three would follow Mario on the world map, and just, you could jump, but you couldn't do anything else. I wonder if you can all run around randomly, or if they do follow the leader kind of thing, you know, while Mario works out where to go next. That would be interesting. I don't know.
Maybe the camera can pan out and give them a little bit of screen real estate to explore.
Yeah.
That would, or maybe there's certain areas where you can't reach as Mario. You have to be a Daisy or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe. And I mean, talking about the six worlds, they seem, I love the naming conventions of each of the worlds. You know, you've got, and I didn't write these down, so I can't remember them. You mentioned the Petal Isles. There's the, what was, there's some of the other ones. There's like a desert world.
There was a Pipe Rock Plateau. That was one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I got Fluff Puff Peaks.
Yes.
Nintendo a lot of times will hyphenate names. So.
Yeah.
There was Shining Falls. Mm-hmm. That was another one. And there were some areas they showed off, like the desert, that they didn't give a name to, but.
Yeah. And like that mushroomy foresty thing. I think that did that have a name?
I only think I caught those three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I guess is half of them. They're talking about six.
True. Mm-hmm. So they look very creative, and one thing that definitely stands out in this game so far is how colorful it looks and just vibrant. I mean, do you agree with that? It looks super, you know, there's just a lot going on. The backgrounds look really nice. It's all about color and I guess music. We've got those talking flowers. Do you think these are going to be helpful or a little too helpful or annoying? How do you feel about the talking flowers?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Initially, when they just showed like that little 2-minute trailer as part of the big direct, I'm like, okay, is this going to be like on Navi 2.0 here? Because all I saw were like, oh, fantastic, excellent, incredible. Like, are we going to actually have, you know, conversations? But they did say you know, that they will, you know, can give you like hints and stuff. So I think it might be more than meets the eye initially. As you know, like if you're a completionist, the 2D Marios typically have, besides just reaching the end, you got to collect like, you know, the three coins or whatever that are hidden about. So maybe they can be helpful for that type of mechanic, whatever they have.
Yeah, I'd say so. They do seem to give out hints, like how do you reach that? Or I wonder what's over there. And some of them, I don't know if they're the same flowers, but you can give them water and they give you some sort of reward as well. I think if they're dried out.
Yeah, it did say they give you coins. So that's always, always fun. Yeah.
Actually, speaking of collectibles, that's a good point. You know, in the trailers and the direct, we've seen there's those big, those giant kind of purple coin looking things. I don't know what they are. Are they the collectibles, do you think? Maybe?
I do actually think. Yeah, it's, I think it's like the, well, I don't know, because did it have a 10 on it? I'm like, is this just
that's what I thought.
A big 10 coin, or it was like a hexagon, like a purple hexagon shape.
Yeah. My initial thought was that it was just 10 of whatever those purple gems are. I do hope there is a collectible, because I love going through the Mario games and collecting, whether it's the star coins, the dinosaur coins, whatever you're playing. I love that factor, because sometimes they're really hard to find, or they're really hard to reach. They're like, you can see it, but how do I get to it?
Or you'll think you're going for the second one, and then you think you're grabbing the second one, and then you find out it's the third one, and you're like, oh, how did I miss?
Yeah, exactly. And they definitely add replayability. So I'm trying to think now. I didn't notice in the top left corner where you have your characters and your lives, did it have the space for coins? I don't know. Off the top of my head, maybe we can Google it while we're talking. But I hope they do, because that's,
well, I do know grabbing the 10 coin is excellent, because I'm pretty sure that's what the flower said when they grabbed it.
Yes, and I mean there are the wonder seeds to collect, so maybe they replace the coins in this game. But they seem pretty obvious. I don't think they're hard to find, right? It seems like it's part of the level that you turn things. Yeah,
if it's like the central mechanic, it's almost maybe like mandatory, I would think.
Yeah, although having said that, when you watch the Treehouse Live video, one of the levels they played when they finished it, you know how so far in the direct, and we've seen at the end of the level, you hit the flagpole and it shows two Wonder Seed, circles that are colored in. When they played a level, there were three and one of them wasn't colored in, so they hadn't collected one. So some levels have more than two. I don't know whether there's more than three ever, but also some of them are maybe more hidden than others. So it could be that is the secret.
Yeah,
not sure.
I wonder if there's like maybe one mandatory and then the other two are optional or something.
Could be. I do hope... this is maybe thoughts at the end, but, you know, one kind of concern I suppose I have is that it looks fairly easy compared to other Mario games. I'm hoping they're just showing us easy levels and, you know, easy mechanics. And there is some challenge for, you know, players who've been with the series a long time.
Yeah. I think there's got to be, In my experience, I guess, with recent 2D Marios, they do tend to be easier, but, you know, usually the last world can kind of kick your butt. And, you know, of course, there's features we don't have to take advantage to, like the characters when you die. I don't think they bubble in this game. They turn into ghosts, which is pretty, it's the same thing. So,
that's
like,
true.
You know, like if you're playing in co-op, okay, if you die, I'm not going to revive you or... you know, you do self-imposed type of limitations, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Which is easier said than done, because it's in the heat of the moment, it's hard not to. But
yeah, exactly. And I mean, even in, and I'm thinking New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, for example, which is the last Mario 2D platformer that we had. In that one, you you know what? I just lost my train of thought. I was thinking of the ghosts that you mentioned. They have a timer and you... Oh, okay. Sorry. I've got my thought back. What I was going to say was when in Wonder, you become a ghost, like you said, instead of a bubble. And if you hit the ghost within a time limit, I guess 5 seconds or something, you come back to life. And I don't think you lose a life, which seems, I guess, a little easier in that normally you have 5 lives and after that you have to continue. I mean, having said that, in New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, you basically have unlimited lives. Like, you have a limit, but once you use up all your lives, you can just continue and you get 5 more lives. So it's not like you ever have to restart from the beginning in these games. You know, it's not since what, Mario, Mario 3, maybe Mario World.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about it though. Cause you said like New Super Mario U was the last 2D Mario, and granted that got re-released on Switch, but that game, you know, when did that come out on the Wii U? That was like a decade ago.
Yeah, I think it was 10 years ago.
That's a long gap in between. Very long gap. Unless you count like the Mario Maker like levels or something, but it's not the same.
No, exactly. No, I agree. It's not the same. And so, yeah, we're talking 10 years between games, which is a very long time. I think that's probably similar to the gap we saw between Mario World and maybe New Super Mario Bros. On the DS. I think that was a similar
time frame.
Mm.
I feel like we kind of had a feast with the new games in between long dry spells.
Yes, we did. Because we had, there were two on the DS or one on the 3DS. Then there was the Wii and the Wii U, which became the Switch. So, yeah.
We had four and to your three. Point, too, while I'm thinking of it, Gemma, about how the game looks, just the fact that it is a new kingdom, you know, the new games, they look good, but after four of them, you know, it's like, they almost look a little cut and paste because it's like, oh, you get the same areas. You know, you get your forest area, your deserty area, your snowy area, your, you know, Boo castles. Or so I feel like there's a lot of freedom, creative freedom that comes with it being a new area. Yeah, we can do new things visually. You know, these wonder seeds, you know, we can do some crazy effects and just kind of go nuts in a way.
Yeah, totally. I was thinking a lot about this because when I watched the direct with my kids, my eldest, he is concerned about how different it is because he's grown up with the new Mario series, right? So we play New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe a lot. Like, it is, I was going to say it was the third most played on our Switch, but Tears of the Kingdom has taken over one of those slots. I think it's now the fourth most played.
So you got what, Lego City?
Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom, and I think it's actually third. I think it's then New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, and then Mario Kart. Wow. I think that's my top four. Yeah,
that's not a bad top four.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It actually inspired us a slight segue to just jump into Lego City Undercover briefly, just because it's still number one, and we just thought, play it for a while. Let's just jump in and play around a bit. So we did that on the weekend. Anyway. He was concerned because he's very used to the new Mario Bros. Series. This is a very big departure from that. But I was thinking, you and I, Trev, and many other gamers who grew up with, you know, the Super Nintendo or the Nintendo itself, the NES, when you think about the very first Mario platforming games, each one was very different to the previous one. When you look at Mario 1 to Mario 2, that was a huge leap, and I'm talking US Mario 2, then Mario 3 was starkly different to either of those. You know, we had the ability to fly. We had a world map for the first time. It's the Koopalings. Yeah, and then Mario World, you know, we had Yoshi. We had the cape. We had 16-bit graphics. It was very different. So I think each iteration and originally was, you know, an evolution almost in the Mario games. And now we've had, like you said, the four, or is it four, I think, New Super Mario Bros. Games have been kind of copy and paste a little bit. Yeah. So they've been very, very similar, maybe with the exception of the coin collecting one that had a crazy amount of coins to collect, which was super fun. But still, it looked the same. It was very much the same worlds. So this is the first time in, you could almost say, since the 90s that we've had very different Mario experience. So that's, you know, almost 30 years, really, 20 plus years. So from that perspective, some people might be put off by it. And I wonder if that's why they're kind of really emphasizing things like this, you know, specific direct and the treehouse event and promoting it, because some people might just be like, oh, it's too different. It's not what I expect from Mario from the last 20 years. So I don't know. I think there is a slight, chance of that happening. But I think, you know, fans who have been around long enough like us are more excited to see something new and different. And yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I think and not to sound cynical, because, you know, Nintendo is in the business to make money. But I think they're looking at profits, because, like, you look at Mario U Deluxe, that's a top 10 Switch seller. I think it's at almost 17 million copies.
Wow.
And that's from a game that already sold almost 6 million copies on Wii U.
Wow.
So you combine that's a huge number.
Yeah.
So even if this game sells half of that, I mean, you're still looking at a huge holiday hit and really beyond, you know, for the rest of the Switch's life. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's good numbers. I didn't know. I mean, I suppose I'm not super surprised. It is Mario, but given its sort of lukewarm reception, I didn't know it was a top 10 title for the Switch, which is pretty cool. Yeah,
that blows me away. I mean, almost 17 million copies for a game that already sold good, you know, relatively speaking, on the Wii U, given you know, the Wii U sold what, like 13 million consoles, and you know, Mario U had about 6 million, so that's almost half of Wii U owners had that. And then you triple that number on the Switch.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's
decent. Yeah, it is actually. Yeah. That's good to know. Yeah, well, I hope this one does well. I think it will. We've had this drought for a long time of Mario 2Ds at least. So we're due. We're overdue.
It's true. You know, I had this, like, back when you came out on the Wii U, at that point, it did kind of feel like old hat, because it's like, man, we played the DS, the Wii, the 3DS, now the Wii U, and, you know, they do kind of look and play similar. But now, you know, we have a decade without it, and, you know, what's old is new, right? You know, we get sick of things, and then we long for those things. That's kind of the cycle of a gamer. So
Yeah.
I think Nintendo is generally good at balancing, like, their IP, spreading them out, so we get them at the right time.
That's a good point.
But we still complain. We still complain. We do.
We do. That's our right. Yeah. No. I think maybe they were trying to do a bit like almost like a Mario Kart situation. You know, every console has a Mario Kart, right? And for a while there, like for four systems at least, every console was getting a new Super Mario Brothers game. We had the DS, the 3DS, the Wii, and the Wii U. The Switch obviously got the deluxe version, but same with Mario Kart. There wasn't a new Mario Kart for the Switch. There was a deluxe version, which has happened a lot for the Switch, but that's okay because of the Wii U, as we know, didn't perform super well. But maybe they were hoping that would carry on. I mean, let's talk about the characters, because one thing that I guess always bugged me a little bit in at least the U game, New Super Mario Bros. U, is that there are only a handful of characters you can choose from. In a four-player game, I feel like, why not make more characters? I still don't think this is perfect, even though you'll probably think I'm crazy, but there are 12 characters to choose from, which is a lot, and the most we've ever had in a 2D Mario game. I still think they probably could have done things a little differently, but I'm still, you know, I'm very happy, as I've mentioned previously, to have Daisy, because she's one of my favorites. She's my favorite, actually. So I will be playing as Daisy first up, for sure. Who's going to be your go-to for your first game? Will it be Mario the traditional, or will it be someone else?
That's a really good question. Well, I'll probably be playing with Jen, and she always picks Luigi. So I feel like it should be Mario, just to balance out the brothers. But I got to tell you, and I'm hesitant on it just because it does sound like it'll make the game easy. And I don't necessarily want to play an easy game. But I'm really intrigued, first of all, that Yoshi's going to be in multiple colors. Because, like, we saw him on the box art label, but they showed off, besides green, they showed off, like, blue, red, yellow Yoshis. So I like that. And I also like the idea of having that flutter jump and spinning. It kind of reminded me of the Super Nintendo. So But I don't like not taking damage either. So
yes,
I'm having a kind of inner turmoil. Like, do I want to play as Yoshi? And maybe I'll just play reckless and maybe I'll fall in a pit and it'll still be a little challenging. Yeah. I don't know, Gemma. Yeah.
It's tough. And this is my problem. I think instead of having characters who have this invulnerability, why not let anyone be invulnerable if they want to, right? Like, let Mario be invulnerable if you want him to. Yeah. You know, have a setting.
I do wish it was an option. Like, Nabbit's okay, because I've only ever known Nabbit as that way, so that's fine. But I wish they would make it an option. And you know, it's possible that, you know, sometimes they'll do like lunch day patches or, you know, for better or worse. Maybe that could be an option at some point, but as of now, it's not looking like it.
No, it's not. And yeah, like you said, it's great to see Yoshi playable and back, you know, with Mario and doing his flutter jump, which I just love. I think he even makes the cute little noise that Yoshi does normally. Yeah. Which is adorable. I just wish he was not invulnerable, you know, like you said, because I would use him, but I'm not going to use him if he's invulnerable because I like a challenge. I've been playing Mario since the beginning. I like my Mario games. I like them to be a little bit tougher as well. So,
I may end up saving Yoshi for like replay, like after we beat the game, and say there is like a red coin element, and be like, oh, we got to go back and replay this. Then I would play as Yoshi and probably enjoy it more because I feel like I've already played through the game.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good way to do it, I think. And I mean, I like that there are 7 characters to choose from who aren't invulnerable. You know, we've got obviously Mario and Luigi, Peach is back, and 2 Toads, which I love because I'm sure you've heard me complain before about both my kids wanting to be Toad in New Super Mario Brothers. And they can't. They can only one of them be Toad. And I always thought, can't they both be Toad? Now they can. They call it the Toad Brigade, the 2 of them, when they're Toads.
Or even Toadette, if you want Toadette.
Yes, Toadette is there. She's back as well, which is nice. And, of course, Daisy, which is an awesome addition. I feel like maybe instead of 4 different colored Yoshis, they could have gone, say, the Mario Kart route where you just choose Yoshi and then choose a color and you could just be any colored Yoshi. I don't know. Yeah. It seems like maybe they just padded it out with 4 Yoshis.
Be like a black Yoshi or darker blue Yoshi.
You
know, honestly, I was wondering if the characters besides Yoshi, like I was wondering, will Peach have a little float? Will Luigi jump a little higher? Like, I was kind of, which I guess is not the case, but I thought that initially anyway.
Yeah, me too. But it seemed, I think they mentioned that. They said something like they all play the same.
Yeah.
So,
which is
like
fine,
Mario, basically. Yeah. I mean, I think it was the Luigi DLC in New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe that had Luigi. Everyone was playing like Luigi, weren't they? Everyone had his weird little kicking jump business. I mean, it would be cool as well if you could turn on that option, maybe like make Peach do her Peach float or make Luigi do his Luigi kicking jump business.
That would be a fun unlockable, like after you beat the main game, if you could unlock that as like a reward or something, that'd be so cool.
Well, we'll talk about badges soon. I think that might cover some of those things that we're talking about, but it sounds like I'm complaining. I'm very happy that there are 12 characters. I think it's great for accessibility that they've made it easier for younger players or novice players, but it's still not perfect in my opinion. But still it's great. And 7 characters to choose from who aren't invulnerable is plenty for me and my family. So it's good. Mostly I'm happy. I just think it could have been tweaked a little bit differently, but that's okay. Enemies. Let's move on to enemies because another thing that is very clear in the direct is that there are a ton of new enemies, so many new ones, and as well as returning favorites like the Goombas and the Koopas. And in fact, my eldest again, Harrison, he was saying, where are the Koopas? Where are the Goombas? He was concerned that there were too many different enemies in this one. And I guess we're in a different kingdom. And again, like I said earlier, it's a little bit, you know, if you're used to 4 games of New Super Mario Brothers series that have very similar enemies and now suddenly it's very different, it can be a little jarring if you're not used to change. So it's going to be a bit of getting used to, I think. But you can give me your impressions in a second. But my first impression was the new enemies felt very Mario to me. Like they, you know, I remember, and I've said this before in our Coopercast series about Mario, you know, when I got Super Mario Bros. 3, for example, I got it for my birthday and I opened up the booklet. You know, I wasn't at home. I was out somewhere for dinner or whatever, or a friend's family's house. You know, I'm a little kid at this point, and I opened up and looked at the manual that came with the game. And I'm looking through the manual.
I always do that first.
Yeah. And you look through the manual and it lists all the new enemies, right, in the game. And you're like, oh, that's a cool enemy. That's a cool enemy. These enemies felt like that to me. They felt like, oh, these seem like Mario enemies. You know, you've got your hoppy cats that copy your moves. You know, you've got your melon plants that spit melon seeds out at you. They looked and felt like they fit into the Mario world, to me at least. What did you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's probably what will maybe relieve like Harrison or people who are afraid that these are different, because almost every enemy they showed off, my mind went back to, okay, this looks like a variant of a classic baddie, like the Hoppy Cats. I'm like, okay, they jump and we jump. But I remember like the Nipper Plants, you know, doing that back in Mario 3, or like the Melon Piranhas. It's like, yeah, they shoot stuff, but I've seen piranhas shoot fire and ice. So this is just, you know, a new take on it. So I feel like, if anything, I feel like people may play it and be like, oh, it's not fresh enough. But I think it's fine what they've showed off. And of course, you know, there's going to be even more unique, you know, enemies. So, and they said that. They said there's plenty more new enemies to discover. So they made that a point of emphasis.
Yeah, they did. They did mention that. And I mean, we didn't even get into bosses. They showed one, they kind of showed a boss fight when they were talking about the online kind of multiplayer or whatever. But you didn't really see anything except them defeating some black and green creature. I didn't even know what it was. So there's obviously bosses to discover. And being in the Flower Kingdom, hopefully these are new bosses. Even though we all love the Koopalings. We all love Boom Boom. But it seems like there'll be new bosses to defeat, which will keep things fresh and interesting, I think, or I hope at least.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, every enemy they showed off, like, and I, some of the names, I don't remember which one they were, but there was one, it looked like a thwomp. You know, it went through the liquid, but it looked like a thwomp, or like those con darts. I feel like there were other enemies that would kind of dive bomb and stick. So it's like, they've taken, it's a new twist on familiar favorites. So hopefully it will appease both people who are looking for new and people who are looking for familiar.
Yeah, hopefully it strikes that balance. Yeah, I think it will. Let's stay positive. But yeah, it does look like a good collection. And I mean, of course, the Goombas are there. The Koopa Troopers are there. I think they said Lakitu was there as well. So there'll be other familiar faces, which is good because I, you know, love them. Goombas and Koopa Troopers and Lakitu, those three at least have been around since very, very beginning. So yeah. Yes, I thought that too. There'll be a mix of old and new and a lot to enjoy, hopefully. Yeah. But to help with those characters, we obviously have new power-ups, and this is always a fun feature of the Mario franchise. You know, they've introduced so many new power-ups along the way, from, you know, weird little ones like the frog suit to really fun ones like the helicopter hat. I mean, we've almost seen them all, and I don't know how they come up with these new suits, honestly. We were talking about it together here at home and thinking, do they have like a wall of like ideas? You know, people are putting in their ideas for the new Mario game. You know, there's like an elephant, there's a giraffe, there's a rhino, I don't know, and then they have to kind of work out which one works best. There's got to be some kind of process of elimination, right? There's got to be offcuts that never make it into a game.
Yeah, well, I'd say almost certainly, because we know with at least with some other Nintendo IPs, oftentimes, like with Zelda, ideas that they aren't able to incorporate into one game, they'll use it in the next entry or future entry. So it's got to be the same with Mario.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
And even, I think even Yoshi, Miyamoto himself had Yoshi as an idea well before Super Mario World. He just wasn't able to implement it until then. So, So maybe they've had the elephant idea kicking around. Maybe even when they had the cat suit in the 3D world, maybe they were toying with different items and they're like, the elephant doesn't work in this situation, but the cat will. Let's save the elephant.
Mario is no stranger to. I mean, he's been a raccoon. He's been a bee. Yeah. I mean,
yes.
An elephant doesn't really seem that odd at this stage.
No. It does look cool, I have to say. Especially when you've got your toad turning into an elephant, or Daisy, and her dress is really stretched. It looks cute. I like it. It looks very fun. I don't know if it's a bit OP, like if it's a bit overpowered. It just looks, you can kind of smash anything, but it also looks.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me because, like, I foresaw the trunk being like a means of attack, but I didn't. It's almost like the Mega Mushroom from a new Mario DS. Mm-hmm. You just run it through the bricks. I did not. That surprised me.
Yeah.
And maybe it shouldn't have because he's an elephant, but it did.
Yes, no, that's true. Maybe it's not a surprise, but no, I agree. It seems pretty powerful. I guess you're not vulnerable. You can still get attacked by enemies and then you'll go back to regular Mario or whomever, but it looks fun. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it works throughout the game in terms of, is it only some levels or worlds that use that mechanic? Like, for example, some worlds might previously have used ice flower, or the penguin suit only really is relevant in ice levels. Is the elephant suit going to make sense in a mine or a underground kind of lava area or not? I don't know. We'll see.
And if I'm Yoshi and I get the elephant suit, I mean, I'm pretty much extra invincible at that point.
I love how the elephant characters like Mario can ride on a Yoshi, and it's like this giant elephant riding on this Yoshi, and he looks like he's not really struggling. So Yoshi's pretty strong.
He's stronger than he looks.
Yeah. And I mean, also, I don't know if you noticed this, when Elephant Mario, or I don't know if it was Mario, but one of the elephants was riding on the Yoshi, he was swinging his trunk and attacking while the Yoshi character was fluttering and walking and using his tongue. And even when they had a Yoshi on a Yoshi, I noticed both of their tongues came out at the same time. So I'm pretty sure, I'm not pretty sure, but I think I felt like if you were riding on a Yoshi, you couldn't do anything. Only the Yoshi player would be able to walk around and do stuff, but you can still, normally when you're on a Yoshi, you can't do things apart from just walk and jump. Otherwise, if you hit the wrong button, you just jump off the Yoshi, right? So you can still attack.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice touch. I don't know. Seems fun.
Yeah.
And that will make, like we were saying earlier about Yoshi being invulnerable and maybe not ideal for sort of more skilled players, but having a Yoshi that you can ride... if there's two of you playing and one of you's Yoshi and one of you's Mario and you can ride the Yoshi, that's kind of fun. That gives it a bit of a different element.
I was wondering with four players, could you have all three on a Yoshi like a totem? And could Yoshi carry the whole team through the level?
Oh, that would be fun to try. Yeah. Yeah. You'd have to get one Yoshi on top of another first and then get that Yoshi who's walking around to try to sit onto the next Yoshi. I don't know. I don't think it's going to work, but I would love to see it work. That would be hilarious.
Oh man.
You never know. You never know. Hey, it might happen.
It's crazy to speculate. And I never, like, speculations like we're having here, I never would thought them, like, with the new series, because they were fairly predictable, but this game is looking unique enough with like the Wonder Flowers and stuff where I'm like, okay, I'm going to let my mind go a little crazier.
Yeah, exactly. And they even said that, expect the unexpected. So, hey, you could be right. Yoshis could ride Yoshis who are riding Yoshis. I hope so. I would definitely love to see that.
I want to see some fan art of a Tower of Yoshis.
Yes. Can we please, listeners, if you're a talented fan, a talented drawer, get some art to us and we'll put it in our next magazine. That'd be cool. Yeah. And then there's a couple of other powers to talk about. There's the bubble power, which probably is the least impressive for me, just because, or the most underwhelming, I suppose. It's just, it's cool, but it's not new in that we've had, you know, how you can carry the, is it the blue Yoshi who bubbles for you in the new Mario series? You hold the blue, the little baby Yoshi, I mean.
Yeah.
You hold the Yoshi and when you jump, he bubbles. And it's the same mechanic. It's fun. It's actually a fine mechanic. And I love that you can jump off the bubbles. And we love to trap when we have the blue Yoshis. We love to trap the enemies. And sometimes they would turn into power-ups as well, which is handy. Like you might get a mushroom or a fire flower or something. Otherwise you get coins. So that was always fun to do. You know, it has its uses. And I think it's good for reaching kind of out of the way areas as well. You can sort of leap off the bubbles a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like the bubble kind of, I feel like because the elephant, first of all, we already knew about the elephant because they teased it in the initial reveal. But then when you're able to see it watering the flowers or charging through bricks, I feel like it kind of set the bar for the other power-ups where maybe they couldn't match it.
Yeah, I agree. So the bubble one, it's cute and fun, but I doubt it's going to be a fan favorite. Whereas the drill is pretty useful. Again, not maybe not to the extent of the elephant, but this drill power-up lets you, you know, burrow underground and go underneath enemies or underneath blocks. And you can also burrow into the ceiling, which is pretty neat, I think.
Yeah. I wonder what type of limitations they'll have on it, because you can't just let people abuse it and go underground the whole level. So
yeah, well,
is there
going to
be like time limits or
that's like, a good point.
Burn out or...
Yeah, we said that as well. My youngest said that. He said, couldn't you just, you know, burrow into the ceiling and then just go through the whole level in the ceiling and, you know, miss everything, you know, kind of skip all the hard bits, right? So that seems a bit of a waste. Maybe there is a time limit, or maybe it does pop you out after, like it burns out or something, like you said, the drill needs to reset. I don't know. There has to be
or
something.
Are there specific new enemies maybe that live underground or in the ceilings specifically for this scenario?
True. Yeah. That might work. Yeah. There's got to be something, maybe Monty Moles in the actual, they're not new, of course, but
yeah.
What if they're down there waiting and you're tunneling, you might just get hurt. So,
I like that idea, Gemma. That's a fun idea.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, time will tell if I'm correct with that one. That's my speculation at this point. Well, speaking of Wonder Flowers, and expecting the unexpected, this crazy mechanic, just, I mean, we've seen a fair bit of what it can do, but obviously there's a lot more. But, you know, it can do things like, you know, make something simple like make pipes move in kind of caterpillar fashion, like up and down. It can make one of the ones I loved that they mentioned was suddenly being thrust into space. I don't know how that works, but that looks really fun to float around in space. Got some Mario Galaxy vibes there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one where the perspective changed. You were almost like looking down on Luigi when he was running around, I think, like a little bit of a top-down movement, which was happening. Mario can transform randomly into different creatures, like a Goomba or a spike ball. I mean, does every level have a wonder seed? Is that or wonder flower? Is that the idea, do you think?
I hope so, because let me tell you, this reminded me, watching this, and this is a good thing, it reminded me of the NES like remix games, where they would take like a classic and really do some wild things with it. I love that idea, and I'm like, I want to see more of that, and we haven't really, but this might be even better, because you take your 2D Mario, maybe in the new mold, even though it's not a new Super Mario game, and then this Wonder Flower lets you just remix things and do crazy things. And, you know, to your earlier question about, is there an eighth world? Maybe there doesn't have to be, because if each level has Wonder Flowers with all these crazy things, you might, it might feel totally brand new. You know, it might almost be overwhelming in a way where it's like, wow, you know, look at this, look at this, look at that.
Yeah, that is so true. That is a really good analogy. I love I'd completely forgotten about those remixed levels. They were so fun and so well done. I really miss those. Yeah, this does seem very similar, doesn't it? It's basically taking Mario and just making it crazy, which is
Yeah. It's what I'm most excited for, to be honest. I love Mario platformers, and I'd get it either way to enjoy it, but I'm like, wow, this is like Nintendo's kind of going into my imagination and like, all right, yeah, let's try this. And again, to belabor a point, I feel like the New Kingdom allows them to do these things, whereas the Mushroom Kingdom keeps it maybe closer to the vest, so to speak.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, definitely. I think it's going to be a really, really fun mechanic. And yeah, I think it will be in every level. And you're right, it's going to change things up so much that maybe that is enough. And maybe, hopefully, it's not overwhelming. I don't think it will be. I think it's going to be you're playing a level and it's kind of like a traditional Mario platformer. You're jumping on enemies and then, oh, it's the Wonder Flower. What's going to happen this time? And you just don't know. I mean, obviously, when you replay it, you'll know, but for the first time, it's going to be a huge surprise. And
Yeah.
I don't know how many levels will be in each world, but we've got seven, well, six worlds, I said, with I don't know how many levels per world. So you've got a lot of Wonder Flowers to
Yeah.
encounter.
What do you figure? Even if there's six, that's a few dozen. So,
Hopefully
again,
it's
being
like
an open world, maybe you'll find extra, levels tucked away somewhere or, alternate exits. So,
Yeah, exactly.
a lot of
Yeah.
possibilities.
Yeah, so many possibilities. Well, let's move on to badges then, because this was another completely new thing for Mario, which I don't even know what my reaction to this is. I think it's so basically the badges are little, I guess, extra, would you call them power-ups, just or abilities? Let's call them abilities that you
Yeah, I think that
unlock.
works.
Yeah, and so you wear one badge at a time only, and you can choose a badge and go into a level with that ability, like the wall jump, extra, you can wall jump up instead of across, which is cool. Or there's that vine one, which looks really cool, where Toad's swinging like Spider-Man around with a vine. That looks really fun. The thing that I love about these is they mentioned there's two ways to get them. One, you can buy some from a shop, and two, you can do challenge levels to unlock them. And I love the idea of challenge levels because that seems like a little extra bonus level kind of thing that might be a bit more tricky and hopefully a bit different to the platforming levels. I just want to collect all the badges. I don't even know if I want to use them all, but I definitely want to collect them all. I am a collector file. Like in Mario games, I am the one who wants to get 100% in Mario games. Maybe not Tears of the Kingdom, but in Mario, yes, I do want to get everything. It's not possible in Tears of the Kingdom, not for me, but that's okay. So I'm very much looking forward to filling out that badge collection. It looked like there were 24 from the screen that we saw, unless the screen moves across or up or down or something. It looked like there were 24 slots to me, so that's a few badges to collect. We saw a few in action. What did you think of the whole badge situation? Do you think it's too much? Like it's obviously optional, but it is going to make things a bit easier. So,
Yeah, I do like that it's optional. It's the sort of thing that I imagine I wouldn't really look at until, again, after I beat the game and I'm replaying it, trying to get 100%. But, I was thinking, the ones they showed off obviously makes the game easier. Could there be a badge to make the game tougher? Say a badge that makes Yoshi take damage, or a badge that maybe cuts the time limit to like Luigi U, where you have to really run through. I don't know. That would be interesting to me, and I'm not sure. I'd have to rewatch if they confirm that every single badge, is to make the game easier. I would hope there might be a couple that mix things up.
They did say something like, I can't remember the phrase they used. They definitely said something like that. They said the badges can help you or I can't remember the word they used, but for example, there was that invisibility badge, which I don't think was to help you. It kind of does in that the enemies can't see you,
Oh
but
wow,
also,
I totally forgot about that one.
how you can't even see yourself, so that seems like a challenge.
That's why
And
I
then there's
forgot about
the
it. I couldn't see it.
yeah, that's it, exactly. And there's also the running badge that I think you normally you hold down the run button. I think you just run. Like, yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I'd forgotten about this. When they first showed this game back in the main direct, I'm wondering if they had the running badge on because the game looked pretty fast to me. And I'm like, oh, I hope this isn't like a Mario Run, like the mobile game.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm glad that that's just a badge.
Yeah. And that could come with a time limit, like a Luigi U kind of thing, like you said, or it could just be a challenge to make it through the level while running and you have no choice but to run. That could be really tough. I don't know what you would get. Is there a reward if you actually do that? I mean, it seems a bit.
I wonder if there's going to be like a, Nintendo doesn't do achievements, but I wonder if there's going to be like in-game, like medals or
something like that, or
maybe not to jump ahead, but maybe there'd be some online implementation where you can like compete with your friends. Like, oh, I did the running badge in X amount of time or.
Yeah, like a leaderboard or something. Yeah, that could work. Yeah, definitely. I mean, well, speaking of online, I mean, there are a lot of features that are present. And I'm sure, like you said, we haven't seen everything. They've got to keep something for, you know, the actual release. It feels like we've seen a lot, but, you know, there's bound to be more. And when it comes to online, I mean, yeah, leaderboards would make sense. I was thinking what they showed to us in the Mario Direct was very, very Nintendo. And it's very, like, I like it. It's very cute. It's very friendly. It's very community focused and it's all brilliant. But they didn't really show that competitive side, which there may be, you know, also because people, you know, need a challenge, right? And they also want to compare scores and times and things like that. But online as it is, seems like once you switch it on, you have these little ghosts running around, or they're not really ghosts, they're just shadows because they're people who are not in
your house. It doesn't look that different from like the games that did like the Miis kind of.
Yes.
On the map. It reminded me of that.
It did remind me of that as well. Yeah. I think it's cool. And I like that you can kind of work together if you want to in a game itself. You can kind of, you can share power ups. You can use those little, what do they call them? Those standees. And so they give you the ability. I think if you're a little ghost, you can hit a standee and you won't lose a life. You'll come back to life within that time limit. So if there's a tricky section and you want to be helpful, you know, put a standee there and someone may use it. I don't know what happens if like 10 people put standees there, you know, or 100 people put standees there.
Maybe they limit it to one per player and then the other one's just. Like it reminds me in some ways of like when the Wii U had like Miiverse integration and like Wind Waker, you had those bottles that you could find on the beach, like just little helpful extras that you can, you know, take or ignore. But I do just want to make this quick point because while we're talking about this, I think this is a lesson on not rushing the judgment because. No, you know, Nintendo did confirm actual multiplayer is local only, and it was every YouTuber in the world had a video screaming like, oh, no online, no online. And that's not what Nintendo said. They said they're not online, it's local multiplayer, not online multiplayer, but there is still online implementation. So, you know, I know everyone, that's the mentality, you want to rush and gripe and yell, but sometimes when you're premature, you end up with a little bit of a Yoshi egg on your face.
Yes. Yeah, agreed. Nintendo does things their own way. And just because we don't have true online multiplayer, like I said, you can still interact with people. You can still help each other. You're still there. You can still visibly see them. And I actually really enjoy the fact that they are kind of ghostly, you know, see-through, sort of transparent characters because A, you're not going to bump into them, which can be annoying, right? And especially if you've got like 100 people. And B, you can earn these little heart points by like finishing a level at the same time or giving each other power-ups or, you know, putting standees down. I think there's real incentive to help each other, which is, that's really nice. I like that. I think it's a really good thing.
Same.
I think it's cool. I did want to just ask you though, speaking of online multiplayer, what was the deal with the friend rooms? That is that where you can join people online who you're friends with and you can play a level with them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I wasn't entirely clear on it, but the impression I got, and I'd have to rewatch it, is like, say you only want to take goodies from people on your friend list, or you only want to race against people on your friend list, you know, versus any stranger, you know, somebody from Japan who's been speedrunning an early launch, pre-launch version of this game.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You can feel like it's a little more intimate community with just people you know.
Yeah, that's true. We'll have to give that a try with our pure Nintendo crew when we get the game. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Leave me lots of standees, because unless I play as Yoshi, and then you don't have to worry about it.
true. Yeah, we could do it where we all play as, you know, non-Yoshis, and then we all play as Yoshis. And then maybe we mix up depending on abilities. I don't know. But yeah, that'd be funny to try if we're all Yoshis. We all have the same flutter ability and the same invulnerability. I don't know.
I wonder if we could try to knock each other into pits.
Maybe.
Make it competitive.
Yeah. Can you still pick each other up like you can in the new Mario series? I wonder if you can pick someone up and throw them.
I wonder if Yoshi can eat somebody with his tongue, and then, because you can spit out objects.
Yeah. That's a good question, because that can be annoying when you're on a Yoshi, you know, in the new series, and you accidentally eat your teammate and then spit them out into the you might not even mean to. The run button is also the eat button. So,
Man, I got like my evil grin on here. You can't see it, but I'm like, I'm thinking about it.
You got to do the mwahahaha.
Yeah, I was thinking of it. I'm like, I should. Excellent.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Somehow we have managed to fill an hour talking about this direct, which wasn't hard at all.
No.
Do we have any, I guess, more to say about Mario Wonder at this point, or the direct itself?
I would just tell the podcast listeners, the Koopalings, to again look forward to our upcoming issue, which is going to talk about this game. And actually, if you're listening to this episode, you have a little bit of a heads up, because some of what I mentioned is stuff I wrote in my article. I'm still working on it, but
yeah, cool.
You know, it's awesome having these podcasts that you can listen to at your leisure, and then having something in print that you can hang on to and revisit. And it's going to be a great issue. There's a bunch of awesome content that the team's working on. So I'm really excited to see what's going to be.
Yeah,
you know, in the final issue. And Gemma, I'm excited to see your layout work, because you did a lot of great stuff with the last issue.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is my first full issue in design mode, so fingers crossed I can pull it off, but I'm sure it'll be fine. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot to look forward to. And if listeners do want to jump on board ahead of the next issue's release, which will be towards the end of this month or early October, is the date we're looking at. So head on over to patreon.com/purenintendo. The only other quick thing I wanted to mention for Australian listeners is that there is a Mario Kart 8 Deluxe tournament on right now. And I just wanted to mention it because by the time we have the next episode, it will be finished. So I did jump online on Friday and compete. I did poorly. don't think I'm going to be making the cut this time around. There is another go this weekend, the 9th and 10th and 11th of September. So if you're in Australia and New Zealand, you can try to qualify. There are daily prizes as well, so there's other reasons to play, even if you're not a pro, which clearly I am not. I was lucky to come fifth in a race, honestly. It was
hey, wait a minute,
hard.
Gemma.
It was hard. It was hard.
Aren't you working on Mario Kart tips for that issue I was just talking about?
Yes. Yes, I am.
So how can you do that if you don't think you're a good player?
Well, I'm good in my house and among friends.
That's true. You are better than me.
But it seems when I'm playing online against people who maybe play online more than I do, it's hard. It's really
So there's the first tip. Play with people you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Know your limits and choose your competitors wisely. It is super fun. I should play online more often. I haven't for a very long time, so I'm a bit out of practice, I guess. But it's fun. It's fun. It's just, it's a little frustrating when you're like 11th and then you get lightninged and you're like, I'm 11th. Come on. So obviously the person in 12th position got a lightning. And then you make your way up to like 8th or 7th. And then people behind you have a star and a piranha plant and a red shell and you get bombarded and then you're back to 11th. And you're like, how am I going to win? Bombardment. Yeah. I'm going to win. The one I did best in, I think, was actually the Rainbow Road from the Super Nintendo original Super Mario Kart. Yeah, I love that track. I was coming second for a long time and then I fell off the edge. And then I think I came fourth, which was pretty good. So.
Oh, that's right. There's no railing in that one.
No. And it's 150cc, so it's quite fast. Yeah, it's very fast. Mm. Anyway, pretty fun. And yeah, if you are in the region, check it out next week or this weekend from the 9th to the 11th. Maybe I'll see you online. I might give it another go, see how we go. But with that in mind, I guess, you know, we should probably wrap things up here because we're over the hour. But thank you so much, Trev, for talking all things Mario Wonder with me.
I had a lot of fun. It was an exciting episode. I always enjoy talking, you know, with you or Kirk or Justin or Katie. But this particular episode, I found myself getting excited as I was talking and kind of daydreaming. And so I hope that carries through to, you know, when I listen to this episode, I hope my enthusiasm and excitement comes through and I hope it's maybe contagious for anyone who's listening.
Yeah, I hope so too. I'm definitely excited, so it's contagious to me. if you want us to leave us a comment about the game or about the show, please do so. We do post this on YouTube as well. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know your thoughts on Super Mario Brothers Wonder. What do you think? What are you excited about? What are you worried about? Are you going to get it day one? Let us know, and we'll talk about it again in the near future. But yes, again, thank you, listeners. Thank you, Trev. And until next week, game on, everybody. Bye.
See ya.